This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire in the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire in the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a good weekend, but I'm delighted this morning to introduce to you a guest that I've been waiting for a while to have on the program, a good friend, Scott Leary. Scott is a federal prosecutor in the Northern District of Mississippi. He's the father of seven kids, he and his lovely wife, Mary. He's a member of the St. John the Evangelist Parish in Oxford, Mississippi, and he's a youth leader in the parish. He's like the point guy for 9th through 12th graders, and a very busy guy. He's a prosecutor, big family, seven kids, and finds room to be able to really reach out to young people who really need the Lord. And so, Scott, it's great having you here.
Thanks, Peter. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Before we talk about your story, which is what I really wanted, I want people to be able to hear your story. And before we do, though, I want to ask you, what is a federal prosecutor exactly?
I happen to be I'm sort of the seedy crime guy where I work. I do gangs, violence, drugs, when individuals violate federal law. And so federal jurisdiction is an array of white-collar crimes, but also narcotics crimes and violent crimes that are associated with drug crimes. And so that's what I do. And it's sad to say, though Mississippi is in a rural part of America, we have big city crime. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but we do. And so that's where I am.
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, you're going to be with us all week on the programs. I'm hoping as we get further into the week, we can actually take some time just to talk about what you're seeing in your work and the kind of the epidemic of overdoses, and not only in your area, but across the country, and the use of heroin. I hear about it on the news and things like that, but how these battles are being fought, and then what the faith that you bring, the impact that has on the work. I'm really looking forward to getting there, but I want to start at the beginning today. Like, just help our listeners. So where'd you grow up? What was life like? And
I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, Catholic, went to Catholic school. I graduated from high school in 81. So I was sort of a 70s kid. And graduated from high school, went to Christian Brothers High School, loved the place, still have friends from my high school class, had no idea why I was Catholic. And and it's it's just unfortunate. I think it was the time that
I was raised in. The 70s in particular seemed to be a time where lots of people said that. You
know? I think that was, I don't know if it was universal, but in talking to people, I think it was to a large degree. I went to the University of Mississippi, Ole Miss, and Mississippi is predominantly evangelical Protestant. So Catholics make up about 3% of the population there. And there's a little Catholic church in Oxford, Mississippi, called St. John's. It's where I go right now. And I can remember being challenged there by a young evangelical guy. It's a buddy of mine. He was in my wedding. He went to the Church of Christ, which is this particular denomination is very strong in the southeastern United States. And he challenged me, basically told me why I wasn't a Christian. And I couldn't respond to him.
Like, what do you mean? How exactly did he challenge you? Did he say, hey, you're not Christian, that directly? Or was he asking you questions you couldn't answer, or what?
He was better trained than I was. And so he would say, with all due respect, Scott, I don't deny that you believe in God. However, your belief system is flawed. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
You know, them's fighting words. Why is my belief system flawed? And he said, well, you believe in earning your way to heaven. And I didn't know how to respond to that. Except saying, well, or what do you mean by that? And then he kind of launched into a faith alone explanation, and then sort of a sola scriptura, Bible alone, scripture alone.
For some of our listeners, they may not know what we're talking about. What do we mean by faith alone? What do you mean by sola scriptura?
So if we go back 500, 600 years to the Reformation, it was built on several building blocks. And one of the building blocks was faith alone. Man is saved by faith alone and not by works of the law. And so where I come from, that's a very significant statement. And in Romans, but Galatians is found, throughout Scripture in the New Testament. And their interpretation of that is that In fact, there's no one Protestant interpretation of that. There's multiple. Right. But what I was getting is that, and it was a sincerely held belief, that if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment, God stamps you saved. It's almost like I put a rubber stamp on my forehead and stamp you saved. And that anything other than that, then you believe you are working or earning your way to heaven. Good deeds do not get you to heaven, Scott, was what my friend was telling me. And that if you believe that, then what Jesus did for you on the cross, then you are effectively denying what Jesus did for you on the cross.
Because if your works mean anything, then you're diminishing Jesus' great work on the cross. And they're trying to emphasize, and they overemphasize, and they fail to see other parts of what the Scripture is very clear on about. Father Cantalamessa had a great line. He used to say, we're not saved by our works, but we cannot be saved apart from our works, is what he said. Because by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. And then God, he said, but faith without works is not real faith at all. It's faith expressing itself in love is what Christ is all about. And love is about doing the will of God and loving your neighbor.
And please tell me if I commit theological error here, but this is, in my simple mind, this is how I explain this now to my Protestant friends. I say, turn to Corinthians 13 and say, yeah, if you have faith to move mountains and have not love, you have nothing. In the end, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Okay. And then I say, let's look at what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is, my view of this, love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is your response. It is an action.
It's a decision.
It's
an action,
a decision.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And so yeah. I, when I'm talking to people, I'm like, let's just change the word works. Let's use love instead of works.
Yeah.
Okay? Man is saved by faith and not by love. Is that what you're, because that's the way I interpret it now. At that point, I could not articulate that.
Right.
I was worshiping Mary and I didn't even know it. And but that's what I was accused of doing. You know, he'd say, find purgatory for me in the Bible. And of course, I couldn't do it. And then he,
because you didn't know the Bible very well.
I didn't know the Bible very well
at
all. I was not biblically illiterate because I'd been going to Catholic schools. But I, you know, we kind of get snapshots of Scripture at Mass. And so then I would read my Bible. I had a foundation of faith. But I tell you what challenged me, Peter. This is what got me. Red-blooded, young, American male. And I had, after being challenged on my faith, that was curious to me because I really had not been challenged on my faith before. And that made me ask the question, well, why not? And then I started going to Campus Crusade for Christ. And it's a Protestant evangelical parachurch endeavor on college campuses. And very sola scriptura, scripture alone, faith alone basis. But what got me is a man met with me, and he looked at me eyeball to eyeball and talked to me about a faith in Jesus Christ. And I had to be honest that I had never had a Catholic man look at me eyeball to eyeball and talk to me about the faith like it really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 19 years old, so I had been around for a while. And that challenged me. It still does to this day. One of the things that drives me today is that experience. Because what happened was I started inching away from the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't any real Bible studies at my little parish, so I would go to a Protestant Bible study, and they were wonderful. I made good friends, and the basis of our friendship was this faith in Christ, and that was that is something that had never happened to me before. And
even your buddies in high school that you played sports with that you were close to, you call them friends, you just never, ever talked about faith together.
Yeah. We were young high school guys.
Yeah.
And so we did what high school guys do. And and so I played football, so I was kind of a meathead. So I hung out with my brothers on the football team, right?
Yeah.
And so I did the meathead stuff, and we started drinking beer too early. We would occasionally talk about our faith. Not much, but just being guys.
Yeah.
And I look at raising my sons, and I get that. I have that. There's the faith element of our life, but I understand too that, you know, they're buddies. They're not going to be getting a whole lot of faith from their bros, you know, because they're just young boys.
Yeah. So this relationship drew you deeper into the evangelical worldview.
Slowly, drew me in. This was through undergrad, and I was a bit of a hellion my freshman year in undergrad. A lot of guys go through that, and I can sitting there remember one of the things I can the Campus Crusade guy was Cliff, and I can remember talking to Cliff, and I said, Cliff, I like to, okay, I'm a Southern guy, so all the people that aren't from the South, I like country music, four-wheel drive pickup trucks, football, chewing tobacco, and drinking beer. Do I have to give that up to be a Christian? I mean, that's where my mind was. And he laughed, and he said, no, this is not about, this is a relationship. This isn't about you meeting some standard here at this, you got it backwards. But I was at that point, and so it draws me in today because I know there are young, spiritually immature males, and that's kind of where I'm drawn to, full of piss and vinegar, who are interested in this faith, but need somebody to talk to about it.
Yeah,
somebody to say, you know, God made you unique, and so I'm a unique fella, and God made other people entirely different and every bit as his child as I am. So I was wading through these waters and growing in my faith. I met my wife in undergrad, which really straightened me up. Peter, she was a good Catholic girl. She was like what I had been thinking about. You know, I went to an all-boys high school, and the St. Agnes was the all-girls school right down the road, and they supplied us our cheerleaders. And, you know, I thought, you know, Catholic girls in their little outfits were the cutest thing that ever existed. This girl I met at Ole Miss, which is pretty amazing, meeting a Catholic girl at Ole Miss, two Catholics finding each other's unique. And she changed me just by being who she is. So I was growing sort of interesting. I don't know if anybody out there has had this phenomenon. I was growing in the Catholic faith, but also becoming Protestant almost simultaneously. I didn't see a conflict in that. And as a matter of fact, I look back on those days now and say, you know, I legitimately, heck yeah, I grew in my faith. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I learned how to read the scriptures and ask a question, you know, how does that apply to me?
Yeah.
Right. What's Jesus saying to me? That kind of stuff that I should have been exposed to more. I just wasn't. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I graduated from undergrad. We moved to New Orleans, and I was a computer guy, and I don't know how I got that job. It was a mistake because I'm not a computer dude. Moved to Nashville after that and was going to be a real estate tycoon. Of course, I was only 23 years old. So,
right. Yeah.
We continued in our Protestant Bible study participation and continued to go to Mass and continued to grow in our faith. And that takes me to law school in the late 80s.
Okay, we've got just a few seconds left on the program today, but it's a good place for us to stop, a good transition, because we really want to pick up tomorrow what happened in terms of how you came alive as a Catholic and how you got the law practice going and all the rest of that. So
sure.
It's been great. Really, thank you so much for your thoughts today. It was
great.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Peter.
Brothers and sisters, I've asked Scott to be on the program just because so many of us, he has a story to tell, but the story is a unique one, in particular any men who are listening to the program today. I mean, Scott's the kind of guy that a lot of men can relate to, and I think the sort of experience he had and the journey he had is something that you can relate to as well. He'll be with us all week long, so I encourage you to ask your friends to join the program next week. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.